Okay, folks, this is JLB Chats episode number 24. And if you're somebody who likes to listen to different people from around the world discussing all kinds of ideas from angles that maybe you haven't heard before, this one is for you. Here are some of the topics that come up in this Fakeologist audio chat that I've taken the time to balance the audio, get rid of the dead air, split it into separate files to make it easy to listen to. All the stuff that Ab doesn't do himself because he's too busy, I understand. I took the time to do that because I think this audio chat deserves to be heard by as many people as possible in this corner of the internet. Here are some of the topics that come up here, folks. Word policing. Why do some people want to police each other's language? Are truthers really happy or are some of them miserable? And if they're not miserable, why do so many of them act as though they are? Franz Ferdinand's car plate. How come more people don't know about this and can't remember the details? These are very simple details. Why is it something that so few people seem to know about? What else have we got here? The moon landing comes up. People falling for Alex Jones and being able to admit that they fell for Alex Jones and the FEMA camps and the Fukushima radiation. Seinfeld and that line from George, "It's not a lie if you believe it." What if the celebrities or the so-called leaders and the politicians, what if they're not in on a lie? What if they actually believe the stuff that they're saying? That comes up as well. What else have we got here? Is the border crossing between the United States and Mexico, is that a hoax? Is it a hoax that there are people crossing that border on foot? Are native people themselves a hoax? Believe it or not, there are people asking if the concept of native people is a hoax. That comes up in this conversation. What is the history hoax idea really? And why are some people constantly misrepresenting it? And there's also a section where I shared with some people on this Fakeologist audio chat something I haven't even shared necessarily with the audience at johnlebon.com, but I shared it with these Fakeologist people because I figured that, hey, who's going to be listening to this anyway? A simple test to determine if we are in a so-called simulation. Very simple test that anybody can do. I shared it with the people at some point during this call. So there is a lot to get through. And so if you're somebody who likes to listen to audios when you're out driving your car or working or on the train on the way to work or out gardening or out going for a walk, that's what I do. I listen to podcasts when I'm out for a walk. If you're someone who enjoys listening to these kinds of conversations, then this JLB Chats number 24 is for you. On the other hand, if you're someone who doesn't like podcasts or you think to yourself, oh, what, a 4-hour audio, that's too much or whatever, fine, you can just click away and go do something different. This isn't for you. This is for people who listen to a lot of audio. And there are some people out there who do. And if you're one of those people, you're the one who I've taken the time to balance this audio, split it into multiple files, add this little intro at the beginning, and I also add some intros at the end of each file as well. You're the ones I'm doing this for because I think this Fakeologist audio chat deserves to be heard. This is Fakeologist audio chat number 1398. So they've done almost 1400 of these audio chats over the past however many years. A lot of them, yeah, are a complete waste of time. But a lot of them are full of good stuff. And this is one of them. And it's barely even me talking. I think I maybe do 10% of the talking on this chat. There's people from America, people from Europe, people from Australia, people from all over the world. Most of these people don't really know each other, have never met, and yet they managed to have, I think we managed to have, a very productive conversation for huge portions of the call. So what I've done is cut this 6-hour audio file into 3 parts, and I've got rid of some of the stuff at the beginning and some of the stuff at the end to make it relatively concise compared to the original file, but most of it is still there. And I haven't chopped and changed or edited anything unfairly. This is the call from about 50 minutes, is when it begins, through to about the 6-hour mark. Other than that, I haven't messed around with it. I've just got rid of the start and the end. So I'm there for most of this call, but I'm only talking for small portions. The other people who are talking bring some really good stuff to the table. So like I said, if you are interested in any of those topics that I just read out to you, if you like to listen to people discussing things, if you like it when people can disagree politely, which happens a lot during this call, there's a lot of different ideas. If any of that sounds good to you, I think you're going to enjoy this Fakeologist audio chat. Like I said, this is number 1398, but I'm releasing it as JLB Chats number 24. And for those of you who are new here, this is what I do. If there's an audio chat that I think is above average, that's worth listening to, what I do is I take it and release it as a JLB Chats to my Podbean, and it generally gets hundreds of listens, oftentimes way more listens than the original upload. So I'm trying to share the good stuff from Fakeologist with the broader JLB audience. And if you like this stuff, you can find more of it at johnlebon.com. There's a JLB chats page with all of the previous JLB chats, all 23 of them, before this one are all still there. And if you want to be part of these kinds of conversations, go to Fakeologist, get yourself on their Discord. It's free, and you can take part in conversations similar to this one at any time of the day. Sometimes there are people there at, well, I mean, there's people from all over the world. So any time of the day, there could be someone there. What you're listening to right now, or you're about to listen to, is an idea of some of the topics that come up over at Fakeologist. It is like an open house for discussions of just about anything. And as you're about to find out, sometimes the chats feature people from all over the world talking about a range of different topics constructively, and I think it's fantastic. Oh, and one final thing, I've got my soundboard going. So particularly in the second half of the call, there is some soundboard shenanigans, which I personally think makes the call a lot more amusing. But that's just me. So if you do give this a listen, be sure to leave your thoughts underneath this upload at johnlebon.com, or go to fakeologist.com, leave your thoughts there. Or, I don't know, send me an email, johnlebon3@gmail.com, whatever. Offer your feedback. That's one of the main things I'm looking for here, is people's feedback. And that's one of the reasons why I like these Fakeologist audio chats. When people come along and they are productive and constructive and cordial, and they bring all these different ideas and questions, like I said, I think it's fantastic. That's why I'm sharing it. So I hope you enjoy. We'll pick it up from about the 50-minute mark of Fakeologist audio chat 1398, which was recorded on Sunday night. So what was that? The 7th of April, I guess. This is from April 7, 2024. Let's pick it up from the 50-minute mark, and I'll see you at the end of this first section that I've clipped to tell you more about what's coming up. Enjoy.
Because we do it to ourselves. Like, yeah. They've got us pointing the finger outwards at others, and they want us to do this. They want us to blame the system and this kind of thing. But it's ourselves. We've done it to us. And we do it to our children. We're just encouraged to do it. We're given the option to do it.
You mean we as in people in general, right? Like we, you're talking about?
Yeah, us, yeah.
Everyone else. Yeah. I haven't very much my children. I don't send my kids to school or let them watch TV.
Good.
Mind you, I don't have children, so it's a lot easier for me to sit here and say that. If I had kids, I'd probably just let them be in the system as well. Off you go, little Billy and Sarah. Off you go, little Jack and Jill. Go to school and...
I did it to mine.
Yeah.
And we let strangers inject them.
Yeah. Mutilate them, vaccinate them, radiate them.
Yeah, the vaccinations and injections, we are being injected into our eyes and into our ears.
And the thing is, are children really your own, or are they just? Do you just share some genes with them?
If you make something, it's yours. If you make something, it's yours.
So who made you though? Like who made the people? For all we know, the humans were put here by some other creature. Yeah.
Oh yes, that's beyond my knowing.
I've got this thing about the word we. I don't like it. I don't like how people use the word we so much. I'm like, no, don't blame me. I didn't do this. You know what I mean? I didn't send any kids to school.
Me too. Me too. Yes, that is something that I might say. Yeah, but it's something to refer to the people.
Mm. I'm not really worried about the people. The people seem happy enough. You speak to the average person, they seem happy. You know, they go to work.
They're well conditioned. They're well conditioned. Yeah.
Yeah, they seem happy enough.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Have you got a problem, John?
No, I don't think there's a problem with the people.
Tell us.
They seem happy. Most of them, anyway.
The people I know don't seem very happy.
Do you mean the people at Fakeologist.com? Because this is not a very good sample size.
I don't know any of you. I don't know any of you. The people I know.
You mean personally? In real life?
Hmm. Yeah, me, the people I know, yeah. They would like things to be very different. Feel imposed upon.
What kind of things do they want to be different?
I would have to ask them and let you know, John. Give me your phone number, and I'll give you a ring.
I think most people want more money. Everybody wants more money. Money makes things better. But in terms of how the system works, they're happy enough. They go to their job, they get money every fortnight deposited into their bank account, they buy beers on the way home or they smoke weed, watch TV, watch Netflix, go to sleep, do it all over again. They're happy enough. The ones that I know, anyway. They don't think there's a problem.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose we can be easily satisfied and entertained and distracted as well, I would say, from more important things in life.
What kind of important things do you think people should be focused on, if not Netflix and video games and pornography and drugs? If those things aren't what they should be focused on, what should they be focused on, do you think?
I would like to see more focus on our young ones, like critical thinking and good knowledge, and like practical skills and I think they shouldn't be in rooms, like for their childhood, stuck in rooms, being told what to think. I think that would be a good way forward.
There's this book called Brave New World, and in the book, one of the things that's explored is this idea that the people who do think for themselves tend to be more miserable. Maybe people are better off not thinking for themselves.
As it might be for you.
Because I think for myself a lot, and I don't think I'm that happy. I see some normies, and they seem so happy with their... To me, their lives seem very boring and monotonous, but they seem happier than me. They don't really think about much. I'm not even sure they can think about anything. No, they just believe what they're told.
Like Brave New World,
I'm kind of envious of them, actually.
We're encouraged not to think.
I think there are different kind of people, just like in Brave New World.
Well, if thinking makes people so happy, how come in all of these little corners of the internet where people have their own thoughts, ostensibly, how come people here aren't more happy? In these different little enclaves online, how come there's so much negativity and toxicity and people trying to tear each other down? If thinking for yourself makes you happy, how come I don't see more evidence of it? Is what I want to know.
Because we expose a lying world, I think, and that's the depressing kind of, that people have to lie and trick others, I guess. Because
that's kind
I don't think we want to be lied to. I don't think we want to be lied to.
Mm. And where, like, what I see in the capitalist thing, so according to Jordan Maxwell, capital is an Egyptian word, and it means pyramid. And this, like, pyramid system where there's a small group that control the masses and give them their thought forms and I think if we could go back like 100 years before to electricity and media, and you think individuals would have such very different ideas of what this realm is. Like, the imagination would be so much greater. I've spent quite a few years in India, and in the Hindu religion, it's quite wild for the Western mind. And when you speak with Hindu people, they actually believe in like sort of elephant-headed children, and that Hanuman jumped from Trivandrum to Sri Lanka, and Shiva came out of a cow's ear in Gokarna, and they believe these things as real, and they have a much more childlike, and I don't mean that as in less in any way, but their imaginations are so much more greater, and I think our imaginations get closed down to an extent. We're kind of pulled out of our childish period. Innocence or something, I don't know exactly what I'm getting at, but... And it seems to me that it's like an obvious plan, you know. You can see it if you've like got eyes to see or something like that. Like you can see that we're being formed into something rather than being allowed to have our own perception of things. And if you say things that are out of the ordinary, like how ordinary people think, you like you're weird or something like this. Kind of like you're a danger to the homogeny of man. And to the degree where if one does have supernatural experiences, maybe you're better off not even mentioning that. I think it's very scary for a lot of people. And they don't admit it.
Well, thinking outside the box can be scary. Especially if you start for the first time.
I was a lot happier when I voted, watched cable news and believed it, and watched American football all the time.
Yes.
All that bullshit.
But I think somebody you mentioned earlier, I think it might have been Jan Erik, he said, are we supposed to be happy all the time? Is that our purpose?
Is happy just a kind of constructed concept? Like, what is happy? It's like...
Well, if you want to be happy 24 hours, then it's constructed, yes.
Like joy, I'm always playing with words in my mind. Like, I grew up with a speech problem. And I was really hesitant to speak all the time. And when people spoke, I would kind of focus in on the words they said and what words meant. And when I felt like it was my turn to speak, the words would be going around in my mind. And so I spent a lot of time sort of contemplating words. And it's such a powerful thing. And behaviour and... We watch movies and things and we conform. And so, ordinarily, you don't see faces enlarged in front of you. Like, that's only something that happens with someone that you're very close to or that you're getting aggressive with. There's two situations where this happens, where people's faces get close together. Like, where you see them in large scale. And, yeah, we can be very mesmerised by it, and it can be shown also in if I've seen sort of a test cases where they may put an eye, a big eye, on the wall, and people behave like they're being watched.
I think Fridge is actually informing
nowadays,
the government on what you're eating.
Okay, don't go. I think. Many people get this idea from the mainstream nowadays that they have to be happy all the time. And then I guess if they're not happy, they probably look for drugs or alcohol as a way out and think to achieve this happiness state, right, to force it on them, even though that's the wrong way. And I also believe that we were made... to feel happiness after we actually have done some work and achieved something. I think that's when we usually feel happy. After you completed the task, that's probably worthwhile doing. And you can look at your work and then feel happy about it. I guess that's the natural way of being happy, having achieved something and not just spend money or something on things outside. And try to get happiness from material things.
Satisfaction.
And that's what advertisement tries to tell us. here, you buy this handbag, buy this big car, and you'll be happy.
My this, my that. Possessed by possessions. Everything's transient, isn't it? Everything's sort of coming and going. Only thing one really has is one's vessel and conscience. Everything else is like external stimuli. Some are very aware of these things and use it very cleverly.
A lot of thinking going on right now.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Ears everywhere. And we live on an earth. Must be an ear, mustn't it?
Hey, hang on. I don't know if we've spent much time talking before, so I'm not terribly familiar with your backstory. How did you get to fakeologist.com in the first place?
Well, so what I remember is John Le Bon's Flat Earth Round Table.
FAKO.
Hold on, Rick and Roller.
Toronto.
It's the top of the hour on April 7th, 2024. We are broadcasting live from the north shore of Lake Ontario.
Are you still driving some car which is 10 years old and barely impresses anybody? Sure, it gets you from A to B. But don't you want to be seen as successful and stylish? Don't you want the comfort of brand new leather seats which nobody has sat in before? At Big Auto Car Yards, we offer no deposit finance, so you can get wheels which turn heads and make you feel like your unfulfilling go-nowhere job is worth driving to once again. So come on down to Big Auto and sign the next 10 years of your life away. Vote with your wallet and support Big Auto today. Mate, the game's on this weekend. Are you coming over to watch and have a barbecue?
Nah, I'm going over to Danny's to watch, and you should come too.
What? Danny's place? His TV is no good.
Haven't you heard, mate? Danny's binned his old 40-inch HD he bought 4 years ago and got himself a brand new 65-inch OLED Ultra HD TV. It's so crisp and clear you feel like you're out there playing the game yourself.
Oh, wow. Did he get it from Big Tech Depot?
Of course. Danny voted with his wallet and supported Big Tech, like we all should.
In that case, I'll see you at Danny's.
So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today.
Can everyone here please say your name and where you are from to introduce yourselves to the live audience?
Avon Aton, England.
01, Germany. Toby, Copenhagen. John Le Bon, Bulgaria. Buzzing Fred, Atlanta. Dookie from Arkansas, I think.
I'm the loser of society nowadays. I'm a white, straight guy.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, already. But
yeah, so you were saying the Ball Earth Roundtable, Aeon. So we're talking 2015. We're talking 9 years ago, man. Can you believe that? 9 years? Can you believe it's been 9 years? That is a
But that was fascinating, time. John. That was a fascinating thing for me then. And I think, so that's like my first strong memory of it. But I think it may have been, I think I heard you say the other day that Ab interviewed Mark Sargent.
Mark Sargent, yeah.
And I think that may have been, and like recollection from you saying that made me think that maybe it was that got me listening, and then your round table thing came along and I listened to those.
Yeah, 9 years ago, man. Absolutely crazy. Someone left a voicemail. My website has a voicemail function. And someone left a voicemail a couple weeks ago. And he kept going on and on and on about Eric Dubai. Eric Dubai says this, Eric Dubai says that. But if that's true, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, that's taken me back a long time, 9 years ago. Eric Dubai, Mark Sargent, Jeronism. All of these people who were big back then.
Right.
Where are they now? know what I mean?
They're acting as somebody in wings.
Like a thief in the night. But there are still people talking about it.
He went back to America. I guess he's no longer in Thailand.
That's my understanding, yeah. Because he's a few years older than me. I think he's maybe 4 years older than me. So he must be around 40 now. So I guess he's at that age where he just wants to be around family. That's the impression I got. He made this video like a year ago saying, I'm going back to America. And the impression I got from it was he just wants to be back around family, which I can understand. The older you get, the more you realize what matters and what doesn't. So they say. And whatever he was doing in Thailand, maybe it's not as fun as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Too many plenty. No.
Yoga.
Yeah, he was big into yoga and also into Wing Chun. And there was this online beef with Eric Dubay and Matt Powerland. And Matt Powerland referred to Eric Dubay as the Wing Chun guy. The Wing Chun guy.
Anyway, yeah, those were the enough days. About them. Yeah.
So 9 years, Aeon, you've been involved in this stuff for 9 years. Well, how about Fakeologists? What's your general take on Fakeologists.com? What's your general perspective?
Oh, John, don't provoke, John.
I'm not being cheeky. This is a genuine query. I'm trying to get some conversation going here. It was kind of like a funeral before. And I'm like, geez, man.
Yeah.
Sunday night, we need to perk up a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that thing. Come on, John, let's do that thing.
But maybe you guys are all 11 weeks sober and you're starting to become a bit...
I haven't drunk for nearly 30 years. I've stopped all that rubbish. Yes.
Okay. I'm on 11 weeks, and it gets a bit rough after a while. You're like, Jesus, my life is boring now.
Self-harm?
Well, yeah, I know I am in a lot of ways, but Jesus, my life is boring now, man. I'm really so
being boring. Australian as well, you got that, like, cultural thing, haven't you? You got to be, like, a bit of an Aussie boy and have a drink and...
Yep. But it's all gone now. It's all over now. My doctor
well
says
done.
If I don't stop drinking, I've got... 3 or 6 months left to live. So I was like, okay,
no.
Choose life. Okay, that story's not true. I don't even have a doctor. But if I did, maybe he would say something like that. Maybe he got to come back and say to me.
Right. So what I see with alcohol is when they get older, it hurts. It hurts them. I can't drink like I used to. Ow.
Okay, let me tell you something. Let me open up to you guys, all right? And to all the people here at Fakeologists.com, to all of the listeners around the world, all 7 of you, I want you to hear this. When I'm drinking, it makes everything more fun, and it makes people more interesting, and it makes social situations more enjoyable, entertaining, amusing. Without the alcohol, it's like, why am I sitting around these people listening to this inane nonsense? Like, I know I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I know I made a lot of mistakes. I know I haven't been a perfect person, but... How did it end up like this, you know? Whereas when I'm drinking, I don't have those thoughts. When I'm drinking, I'm like, yeah, that's really funny what that guy just said. This person's really interesting. That girl's really pretty. That's all I'm thinking about when I'm drunk or when I'm drunk. When I'm sober, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is so bleak. This is
blimey,
bleak.
John. You better start drinking again. You better get down that off license and get yourself a few bottles.
Well, I don't really drink from off. I don't really drink at home. I only drink out in social situations. That's the thing. So off licenses aren't. And in Bulgaria, you don't need off licenses. They sell beer at Kentucky Fried Chicken. They sell beer everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if you go to KFC, they sell a meal, or as they used to when I first got here. I don't know if they still do. The meal would come with a can of beer. So, like, you know, when they're promoting like a combo meal, you get the burger and the chips and the gravy or whatever. Here, one of the meals they were promoting was a 500ml can of beer. At KFC. No way.
In Germany, they used to have it too at McDonald's like 20 years ago. I remember that you can have a beer with your with your meal, with your Big Mac meal or whatever. I don't think they said beer any longer at McDonald's here, but they used to. But Europeans, at least in Germans are more responsible drinkers. I don't know about Bulgarians.
So. No, I think you are. I think Europeans are more responsible than Australians, at least. Definitely.
Definitely. I don't know about the British.
can get pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah, the British not so much, but I guess the French, the Germans, I don't know, the Danish, it's more moderation. And we don't get pissed. I mean, most of the time people don't drink like to really get fucked up. You just have a couple of drinks and that's enough and then you stop. And some people drink daily. Maybe they have one or two beers or something. And that's good for them. It's not like they empty a whole lot of beer, maybe like 10s or something, like others do.
Is someone who drinks every day an alcoholic?
It depends on what definition you use, right?
Like junkie.
I think that there might be some official definitions for alcoholism. And even if you just drink one beer, maybe every day, I think they would consider you an alcoholic.
I would consider someone who does that every day an alcoholic.
Would you consider someone who smokes one or two joints every day, or does one or two vapes every day, a weed addict?
Yes.
Uh-oh, you've just offended lot of people at fakeologist.com. You've just offended most of the 7 people listening all around the world.
Oh, I don't worry about that sort of thing, John. Too long in the tooth for that, mate. Worry about if I'm offending people. I wouldn't try to do that, but I can only express myself, can't I? Like,
It's a dependency issue to call someone an addict, right? Or like an alcoholic would be whether they could not drink every day. Whether they do they drink every day? Is can they stop? If they can't stop because of dependency, then that would be considered an alcoholic.
Yeah, but you could also argue about drinking coffee every day. It's an addict.
I do. I'm a coffee addict.
Yeah, you can be addicted to caffeine. Caffeine's an addictive drug. It's not the coffee, it's the caffeine, because it's a drug. I would say I was addicted to it. Except I didn't drink coffee. It was Coke and sweet tea. I'm from the South.
Yes, but what's the negative side about coffee? Is the negative side?
The caffeine. The caffeine is addictive.
Addictive, but what's the negative side if I drink coffee?
It changes your heart. It changes your heart rate. It messes with your digestion.
Is there proof for that?
I would say so. From my observation, yes. I used to get headaches when I didn't drink coffee. So, like, to me, that was a form of DTs, right? Detoxification.
A01, are you a caffeine addict in denial? Is that what's going on here?
Maybe. No, I don't drink every day, but I wouldn't consider that a problem if you drink coffee every day. I mean, it doesn't change my state of mind or something.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a problem, but I'm just saying if you're defining it as an addiction, I would say yes, it can be addictive.
Yeah, okay, addictive. But what does addictive mean, and what's the relevancy of the word?
Well, you were talking about alcoholism. So is that an addiction? Is that the definition of an alcoholism?
Yeah, but alcoholism, I think, has a different effect on you in a negative way.
It's still a drug. Still a drug, though, right? Well, you one drink a day, though. Does that have a negative effect?
But I'm talking about the negative effect about alcohol rather than just being addictive.
Yeah, so there's a question of can you be dependent on caffeine, and if so, at what point are you dependent? And then what you're talking about 01 is it as if someone is addicted to it, is it a problem? Which is a different question. I think you guys are talking about slightly different
things.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's true. But yeah, I do think it changes your like the highs and lows, like your the people that wake up and have to have their coffee in the morning. They've got, or they're in a bad mood. So yeah, to me, that's a negative effect.
Okay.
So it affects your blood sugar level.
Drinking. Yeah, I don't see that for me personally. So it might affect people differently. I agree.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely think everybody's different. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever gone to like an Alcoholics Anonymous or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting?
I haven't. No.
No.
I know.
Sure it was depressing. It was so depressing, man. I went there thinking, if all of these people have an alcohol problem, then surely the idea of getting together is to have fun without alcohol. I thought that was the idea. I went there. Man, it was depressing. I've never wanted to drink more in my life. Listening to these people, they're all so sad about these mistakes they made. And this guy lost his family. This guy lost his job 10 years ago, and he's been coming twice a week to these meetings ever since. This person has... Like, it's all just people sitting around talking about the mistakes they made in their lives. And I'm like, yeah, we all make mistakes. That's why we're here. We should be having some fun, like...
How do we turn this around?
not turn it around. Most of these people had turned it around. They were sober for many years. But the point is, like, why would you want to go and sit there in a meeting and just talk about the mistakes you made all these years ago? Like, what would be the point of that? Like, that is so depressing. So they were nice enough people, don't get me wrong. Like, we went out for dinner afterwards and stuff, and they were nice enough people, but I was like, I'm never going back there again. And I never did.
And the problem
Depressing.
All the people have the same problem. So how are you going to help each other?
Well, a lot of these people had been sober for years. One guy had been sober for 10 years from memory. So the idea is you've got the support network of other people who've quit drinking. The problem as I saw it, and this was just one meeting. There's thousands of these meetings around the world. I just went to one. So this is not necessarily indicative of the whole lot. But the one I went to was so sad and, yeah, I've been coming twice a year. Well, why would you want to... Suppose you're someone who's just freshly quit drinking. Then you go to that meeting, and the guys who quit 10 years ago are still sad, miserable people. Why would that make you want to quit? Whereas if those people were like, I quit 10 years ago, since then I've built a business, or I've rekindled my relationships with my kids, or, like, you know, talking about the happy things going on in their life, you're like, yeah, that's the guy I want to be. That's the path I want to go down. Whereas if you're looking at these people and it's like, yeah, I quit 10 years ago, and... I've lost my wife in my house, and it's like, fuck, if I was you, I'd still be drinking.
That's
the only way I'd be able to cope with my life, if that's what you got. Jesus!
And the thing is, if you get away from alcohol, why would you go back to a place that reminds you of drinking? I mean, you would stay away from these people.
Because the idea is that by going to these meetings, you remind yourself of the vow that you took to not drink. Like, in theory, it makes sense. I'm just trying to talk about, as an outsider going in there, The energy? Yeah, nah, that's
Mind you,
I get the same feeling with the energy at these psychologist calls most of the time. Most of the time I'm like, man, these people sound sad. Dude, like, you would swear that finding out the truth was the worst thing that ever happened to them. The worst thing that ever happened to them was finding out the TV was lying. Because now they just come here and so, oh, it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. It's, yep, that guy's a shill. That guy's a shill. I just sit here on a Saturday night drinking, talking to fucking Rollo. This is my life. It's like, holy shit. If that guy could go back in time, I bet you he wishes he never found out about this stuff. You know what I mean? This can't be the peak of this guy's existence. That's how I feel about a lot of people here. Fucking hell. The crab's in a bucket mentality here as well. Oh, here's some dude with some energy having fun. I'm going to try and tear that guy down. That's how some people here are here. All they want to do is tear people down. What kind of pathetic, sad, miserable lives are they leading? That this is the highlight of their day. Jumping onto a Discord and accusing other people of working for the government. That's the highlight of their day. Jesus.
I thought about going back to Facebook after a couple of shows. It's like, oh my gosh, Facebook isn't this depressing.
Fucking. Imagine if you're someone who's just waking up to the fact that the TV lied about 9/11, and then you come here, and all you hear is, that guy's a shill, that guy's a shill. Yeah, I sit around on a Saturday night complaining about all these other podcasters. Yeah, they're all fucking working for the government or some shit. You'd be like, okay, this place ain't for me. If this is the direction I'm on, I'm changing direction.
Yeah, but if you just wake up, I think you'd just join Alec Jones or someone like that.
Who'd you say? If they just woke up, they'd join who? Who would they join?
Alec Jones.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Exactly. And then you move on. If you're still interested, then you move on to a different places, and then maybe you end up here and become depressed again.
Dude, when I first got involved in the so-called truth scene back in 2013-14, the little group that I got involved in, this is before there were Discord servers or anything like that, the group I got involved in was mostly people in their 20s and 30s who were creative and they were having fun. So they would make videos laughing at the latest shooting or laughing at the latest bombing. They'd be like, look at this dummy, look at the dummy, they're pushing a dummy around in a wheelchair, that's not real. And they'd laugh and they'd do these live shows where they'd all get together. They'd have, like, people would make music. They would take the piss. It was fun, it was energy. That's how I got involved in all of this. Fast forward 9 years, and where's the energy? You don't see it. All you see is, they're lying about stuff. The two stroke engines don't have intake valves. It's like, this is not. I kind of feel like I got bait and switched by the truth a little bit. I got bait and switched a little bit. They got me in with the energy and the happiness.
The show.
And I'm sitting around here fucking talking about God knows what. Everyone's a paid shill. Jesus Christ. Oh, we're in a lot of trouble, folks. But you know what? Guess what I did today. I server boosted the Fakeologist Discord server.
Oh, yeah.
I only found out today that literally nobody else has done that. Literally not a single person has boosted Ab the Fakeologist.
No, I did. And
that's what I thought. I thought you and other people had. But when I went to boost it, it said we're on 0 boosts out of 2. 0.
No, but,
so maybe you...
I have to give White Times credit. He gave me a boost for free, so... And I didn't know what to do. I boosted here in the Faco Discord.
How long ago was that? How long ago?
In February, I guess.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. They only last for 1 month.
Wait, what is...
They only last for 1 month.
Well, help me out. What is a boost? I don't even know what this is.
All right, so a boost, every Discord server can be boosted. Uh-huh. And that means that someone's paying like $3 or $4 a month for one boost. And the more boosts the server gets... the more functions that it has. It has better streaming bandwidth. It has more spaces for soundboards, more emoticons, this kind of stuff. So, in theory, suppose there's a community of people using a Discord, right? And suppose they're all there because they like some video game, which is what most people use Discord for, and they like that server. Some people will voluntarily pay $3 or $4 a month, which you can cancel any time, to boost the server to make it more fun for everyone who's there. That's how it's meant to work in theory. But apparently, up until today, there was literally no one boosting this server. And now, I've got a theory about that. What if the kind of people you attract has a correlation with the kind of support you get back? Now, some of the people on this Discord, God love them, God bless them, do they seem like the kind of people who are going to voluntarily support a Discord server with boost for $4 a month? No. No, they're not. So, in retrospect, I'm not surprised that Ab was getting no support. But I've changed that. And now he gets 2 boosts a month. And I will continue to boost this server for two times $4 a month, so long as we have Soundboard Saturdays. That's my only condition. We need Soundboard Saturdays. And that's when I'll be here.
Does a boost help with more soundboard options or anything?
You'd better believe it.
Maybe that's why I can't upload. I haven't boosted it.
Yeah, but some people confuse the personal Discord, which is called Nitro, with the server boosts. So a server boost is for somebody's server. It doesn't have to be your own. Whereas Discord Nitro, which is, like $10 a month or $8 a month or something, it depends on your currency, obviously, that is to boost your own features as a user. So they're separate things.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah, I just never looked into what it was. I just saw that recently. I was like, what is a boost? I didn't even look into it. Now I know.
Yeah, you know.
Now I know.
So I guess it's just a business model for Discord or something, too.
Yeah, can you get this 01? This is going to blow your mind, bro. Some company that pays untold numbers of workers to program this stuff and to run a business, they want to make back money for what they do. Believe it or not. And I don't think they're sinister. In fact, their Discord has given me so much benefit. I'm more than happy to give them money in return.
How many free servers?
According to Google, there's 19 million Discord servers. But I would say take that number with a grain of salt. We don't really know.
19 million. Yeah. But still, there's millions of, probably still in the millions, but, right?
I've been using Discord. I found out about this from Ab like 6 or 7 years ago. I've been using Discord since then. I've gotten so much benefit from Discord, my Discord, Ab's Discord, other people's Discords. If I'm giving them back $10 a month or something, to me, I'm still making out like a bandit. So that's how I see the world. I'm like, what have I got from something? I'm happy to give back. That's not how most people in this corner of the internet work. It's quite remarkable when you realize most people are like, no, I don't have to give, so I'm not going to give. It's they owe me. Discord owes me this platform.
No, no.
Discord owe
but
me.
But I think they do.
No.
I think since it's free, they use our data.
See? Yeah, 201 saying, oh, they use our data. So because they use our data.
Did you read the terms and conditions? Did you read the terms
and conditions? I haven't, but I'm sure it's in there.
It's the internet. It's the internet.
Yeah.
You're putting ones and zeros onto the internet, no matter what app you're using. So it's all being transmitted by somebody somewhere. All of it. Even the words we're speaking right now. So
it's
what?
Being collected somewhere. Yeah. By the way.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I hope they have assigned somebody to listen to me. I hope there's some guy in Langley, Virginia, who has to listen to every word that I say.
There's no person involved.
Unfortunately, I don't think anyone's really listening to us.
Yeah,
they give a shit.
Someone,
we're no threat to anybody.
It's probably a bot. Like, it's automated listening for word keywords or something. I don't think there's a person, dude.
No, but
if they are, they're probably going to have to get
in. I think they just probably use like, it to find out trends and something, like things that people talk about. And maybe
yeah, that's what I said.
Predictions about
certain
events.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not listening in the sense like somebody, there's a person involved. It's a different process. It's just like scanning data, probably, like automated scanning.
And maybe Rollo's prosecutor is listening. Maybe the prosecution for Rollo's court case are listening. Maybe at least go into a lawyer to get their advice.
Only if it's really
good. I want to drown that lawyer underneath the ocean. Because I will probably end up going.
How is he doing, actually? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I think you could guess. I'll give you one guess. But could you imagine if that was your job, listening to this? Like, you'd need to go to Audio Anonymous or something. Like,
I know.
That'd be a terrible job, wouldn't it?
I think you could just quit and claim PTSD after 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, first responders can just quit and just
after
get paid money for
week,
the rest of their lives.
Man. Not after 1 week. That's not 6 months, man. You're probably dead by then.
Just the server amount of audio that you'd have to listen to and all the bickering back and forth. Oh, yeah. It's enough to drive anybody crazy.
Yeah, we were saying earlier that it's like a daily soap, right? It has a cliffhanger, and then you have to tune in again to see how it continues.
Yeah. What's going to happen next? Yeah, what will happen next on Fakeologist?
Yeah.
I need you to walk into that closet naked for 3 days.
Oh, 3 day naked. Naked and afraid.
Can I just say one thing, and I'm being quite sincere here. Since 01 and Toby's started doing these chats 4 or 5 weeks ago, or 6 weeks ago, never was, and it's gotten more active, some of the people who have come here more regularly have been more fun to chat with. Like, this for me is actually fun. I like these kinds of conversations. So I'm glad that the place has picked up lately. It does go through peaks and troughs, and I would say right now it's in a peak, and hopefully it lasts for a few more months at least. But at the moment it's fun, so I might talk shit about Fakeologist or the server. It might sound like I'm being critical, but actually I'm here right now. I'm enjoying it, so I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
I'm also here, even though I get criticized a lot, and people actually, I don't know, they love and hate me. I'm not going to say more, but also I'm the loser of society nowadays. I'm a white straight guy. I think I'm a little bit provocative, right? The way I talk, But otherwise, it wouldn't be interesting. And where else can you exchange ideas? Like,
is it true, Zero One, though? Is it true that you have been denigrating women's place in society? Have you been doing that? Is this true? Because that's the rumor that's going around. And I wasn't there at the time. This is just what I've heard in the back channels.
I was saying something about feminist women, and that I think most Western women are feminized today, or are feminist to a certain degree. And even the men are. I don't want to leave us out of the equation.
Men are feminized, women are masculinated.
Yeah, but under the program of feminism, yes.
Mm. Yeah, under the guise of, hey guys, it's under the guise of feminism.
Yeah.
It's all about masks, you guys.
And I never said that I hated women. That's absolutely false, man.
But did you never say it because you don't feel that way, or did you never say it because you're smart enough just to not say the silent part out loud?
No, repeat your question so I can answer that.
Well, you know how Borat made the point that women's brains are smaller than men's. You know, you're not allowed to say that, even if it is factually correct. You're not allowed to say that.
I might have said something in that regard, not necessarily. That exact thing that you just said, but maybe I did give some examples. Or obviously driving a manual car was maybe one example, but it's just something you can.
AKO Toronto.
I'm Zach Hubbard with freetofindtruth.blogspot.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Hi, it's StreamerBit. The date is April 7th, 2024 here on the north shore of Lake Ontarable in Toronto.
When the winter blues set in, there's only one solution you need to think about. Imagine relaxing on a banana lounge in the middle of a picturesque beach with a gentle breeze swaying in the palm trees as you enjoy your third daiquiri of the afternoon. The worries of the working week a million miles away. At Big Airline Holidays, it's our end of season sale, and we have half-price airfares to the warm and welcoming destinations you dream about. Call our customer hotline. With well-trained professionals who know how to upsell you from a budget three-day getaway to a bank-breaking week-long five-star retreat before you even realize you've gotten a credit card out of the wallet. Speaking of wallets, it's important to vote with yours, so book another trip with Big Airline today. Adventure, fantasy, romance, action, and plenty for the kids as well. All the escapism you could possibly want, streamed direct to your smart TV device. Bundle our movies and kids package for just $15.99 per month for the first 6 months, and you'll also get access to our comedy catalogue as well, at no extra charge. The movies and kids bundle, with comedy package included, now streaming at Big Media. Vote with your wallet and support Big Media today. So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today. Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
It wasn't a tent, it was this magnificent thing.
Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
We do talk about fake and gay all the time, yes.
F-A-K-O. Toronto. This show is being monitored and recorded for quality and training purposes. No sacred cows were redacted in the making of this program. Fakeologist audio at fakeologist.com.
Hi, it's StreamerBit. The date is April 7th, 2024 here on the north shore of Lake Ontarible in Toronto. To listen live, please go to fake11.com/radio2. To join in, please go to fake11.com/discord. Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
We've got Aton from somewhere in the UK is my guess. Buzzing Frets, I think, is from somewhere in America. I don't think we've really spoken that much. Dorky Foot is from America somewhere. Not Shocked is from Georgia. Toby's Freedom's from Germany. Toby's Freedom's from Denmark. 01's from Germany. What? He's not from Denmark. Where's he from?
Yeah, I thought he was Denmark.
No. Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah,
cool. And I'm coming to you from Bulgaria. And, yeah. Anyway, enough from me. I've enjoyed the chat. I'm going to go back on mute. And I'm going to try not to use the soundboard too much. I'm going to try and mute the soundboard for 20 minutes.
I can't hear my wife's voice anymore. Wait. I see her lips moving, but nothing comes out.
That was not even 10 seconds. You're a liar. Stop.
What lips? What lips is Ab talking about there? That's...
How dare you?
Don't go there.
You're cut now. Wait, man.
Oh boy. Oh.
Guess who?
Guess who it is, Ed?
Dave G.
Guess who it is?
Oh, come on.
Guess who?
They're complaining. Oh, come on. That's also funny, man.
Yeah, to me, the soundboard is funny. I don't care what people say. I think it's funny.
Well, I think it can be overused. Like, that is a fair criticism of it. But at the same time, it's like, do you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater? I would say no. But it's not my server. Well, I appreciate it. This is
right.
Wild Times. He owns the server. Those are his words, not mine. He owns the server. So. Well, I'm not joking. Those are his words.
How much does he pay? How much does he pay to own the server?
That
needs
to be a soundbite. That needs to be on the soundboard. I own this server. That'd be great. How do you own a free server? I don't know. Just curious.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
I didn't catch the Rick and Roller show yesterday. I was asleep, actually, I think.
There was only a Rick show. Rick and App show. Roller wasn't on.
Is it true that you got muted, 01? I heard some rumors that you tried to interrupt a Rick and Roller show and you got given the kibosh. That's what I heard. Don't know if it's true. I hear rumors.
No, there was another Jeff was on and Toby was on and I came on maybe 5 minutes prior to Rick's show. And then he assumed that we were talking already for like 30 hours, which is complete bullshit. And... Well, he automatically muted Toby and me, and that's when I wrote in the main chat at him, yeah, thanks for being an A, stop, beep, beep, beep. I don't want to be sent out again for 24 hours. And, yeah, and after a short time, maybe after 5 minutes, we got unmuted and we actually talked on the show. And the funny thing about Rick is, I don't want to talk negative about him, but on the show, he always pretends to be nice to you, and then he leaves, like, all this negativity in the chats, man. I always wonder, what's wrong? I mean, and for the online listeners, he pretends to be this nice guy, and then he writes you personal messages. I mean, not to me, but I guess Toby has gotten some of them, like, not to do certain things, right? I mean... I just
yeah, I hear what you're saying. If you go back through the archives, which I know that people don't really do, but if you were to do that, you'd find out that Rick gives one person and one person only credit for him joining the Fakeologist Discord. He credits one person. He says there was one guy out there
who was on the Discord, who made Rick so mad as a listener that he decided to join the Discord just to argue with that guy.
And it's you.
Is it? Well, you're talking to him right now, yeah.
Yeah. You like being that dog. You like being that dog.
He joined just to argue with you?
Those are his own words, yeah. He argued specific. He was so pissed off by me talking about history being a hoax. It was either history or war. Those two things trigger a lot of people. And he was so pissed off at me saying that either war or history are a hoax.
Why does he tell the truth about certain things? Like he was saying, Toby and I were on like 24/7, which isn't true for the last week. I mean, look at the ratio of chats going on during the last week. That was rather slow. And the week prior to that, I was completely off. I was actually kind of sick. I'm physically sick, not right. And I couldn't be on, and also I was running out of ideas and didn't feel well. So,
well, firstly, I'm glad you feel better. I will say, I'm not trying to defend Ricky. I will say though that if people do come to the Discord and they're on for like 10 or 15, 20 hours a week, and they're just sitting around chatting, that so what happens is some people just listen to the audio chats and they're hoping to hear interesting stuff. So for people who come here are just chatting for hours and hours with nothing in particular to talk about, some of the loyal listeners of Fakeologists can find that a bit frustrating because you start to think,
no,
what am I missing?
I spoke up against that also in the chat once. I'm also not satisfied with some of the past talks because there was maybe like 20% some of the talks that were actually Fakeologist topics other than the topics were just like ramblings and drama and so on, especially the longer ones.
And so, like, say with you and Toby's Freedom 01, like, if you two decided, for argument's sake, that you wanted to talk about a particular topic, like a fake event or some historical thing, or a particular YouTuber or content creator, like, if you guys wanted to, you could do an interesting show. Both of you know a lot of stuff about this area, if you wanted to. So there are some people who, like, might tune into a show with you guys, hoping to hear something structured, and 3 hours later it's like, what have I just listened to? Now, I'm not saying that was where Rick was coming from. I'm not sure. He'd have to speak for himself. But if that is at all related to what he was saying, then I agree with him. Some people do come here and they do audio chats where it's like, that could have just been a private conversation. The rest of the world did not need to hear about that. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but also, yeah. And I understand he has the show, but I usually don't show up at that point. So.
Oh, yeah, he's booked Saturdays. Saturday evening his time, which is like Saturday morning America time, I guess. That's pretty much booked. It used to be Rick and Rollo, and then actually before that it was the Fire Podcast, and so like there was like this chunk of time that was kind of unofficially reserved for them, which I think is fair enough because they come every they were coming every Saturday and doing their show, so I've got no problem with that personally. It is just a shame that it's gone from Rick, Rollo, Living Man and Velocet to Rick, Rollo to Rick and Frank to Rick, you know what I mean? But it seems as though Living Man has come back. Seems as though he's back, which I'm happy about. Although there's some stooge in the comments talking shit about Living Man, and I'm like, why don't you just come onto the calls and explain yourself? These people who just leave these anonymous comments talking shit about, like, those of us who come onto the calls, why are the people anonymously in the comments talking shit about us? Why don't you guys come onto the calls? If you guys have such interesting things to say, why don't you come and tell these things to the world rather than sitting there anonymously in these comment sections? I don't like this behavior, not one bit. And they know who they are. They're listening right now. They know who they are. They're probably getting off on me even talking about them. In fact, I've just increased the chances of them leaving some stupid comment on this audio chat by 10, by a factor of 10. Because now they're getting validation. They're getting, they get off on the attention. I think a lot of these people lead very, very sad, miserable lives. Honestly, I do.
You're probably
I'm not even joking. Oh, I'm addicted to caffeine. I'm on my second coffee of the day, and it's 20 to midnight here.
Oh, no, I was being facetious. What's a typical comment?
All right, I can read one for you. Actually, this will make Napoleon Wilson's day.
There you go.
Because he says that we don't read the blog enough. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Fakeologist blog. And, you know, Napoleon Wilson used to be on these audio chats, and he has a beautiful Mancunian voice.
Did he used to be on audio?
Yeah, he used to, Manchester. And he's got a beautiful voice. Okay. He's intelligent, articulate, well-spoken. At least he used to be. Now he just sits in the comments just talking shit about people. So, for example, if you go to the midweek marathon, which featured 01, Fakeologist. I'm just waiting for this to load now. Or some, do you guys have this... Mate, you guys don't even use the Fakeologist website. To anyone who does use the Fakeologist website...
Yeah, I use it. I use it.
Do you have these problems where it doesn't load, where you click on one of the pages and it doesn't load? This happens to me all the time. It just happened again. I understand why.
And it doesn't really work well on mobile phones. I must criticize that.
Yeah, and now if I use a different browser, now I get all these pop-ups asking for donations and stuff. Goodness gracious, man.
Epic cash.
Just like to say hello to Napoleon Wilson.
Your $250 times $25,000 is worth $6.25 million. Now, is that nuts?
I do.
Is that crazy?
That is nuts.
Yeah, that's
I do see Napoleon in the live shows. I see him in the chat.
Yeah, he's in the chat. He's probably in there now. And I've said to him, Napoleon, why don't you come back? You've got interesting stuff to say.
Yeah.
Why did he come on? And I don't know what his reason is. But he calls all of us house clowns.
I think it's 9/11.
He thinks that we're house clowns. Me and every one of you, he thinks we're all house clowns. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I think he's trying to suggest that we're here to distract from the real truth. And if you're wondering what is the real truth, I think Napoleon Wilson's answer is that it has to do with Star Wars.
Yes, and 9/11.
Yeah, because I've Star seen Wars his videos. I've seen his videos, and I'm like, what the... It's a little crazy out there. I don't know how to take it.
Well, it's avant-garde art. I like it. I like that synchromistic kind
of like
blending.
I like him. I'd like him to explain it. Like, I'd love to hear his some commentary on it. Very.
I'm the same as you. I'd love to see him. Yeah. I agree.
Maybe he's
I want to understand it because it is cool stuff. Like the video.
But the thing is, maybe he's not in good terms with White Times or something. Maybe that's what's stopping him from...
No, he stopped... No, Napoleon stopped joining the calls before Wild Times even visited fakeologist.com. It's been used now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's been out of the audio for a while.
Yeah, years, man. Years and years.
Yeah, because I thought, because he was on the site and in the chat all the time, that he supports Fakeologist, but then it also sounds like he's...
I think he is listening, actually, because he comments sometimes on Epp's blog. Right.
Well, he only does it on the blog. Did you get on the Discord at all? I don't think I've seen him.
No, I haven't seen him. I've done my time here.
It's just on the blog. Yeah.
And he's the only one. He's the only one that comments.
What's the other? I can't think. Yeah, it's got so many sites. What's the other one where everybody posts stuff?
FakoTube.
That is the bot.
No, the forum? Is that?
Well, it's not the... Yeah, the forums. Yeah. I see Napoleon in the forums a lot.
But the app always tells us, go to the blog, but it's only Napoleon who posts there. There's no activity. I mean,
there's probably like five or six that consistently post in the blog, but...
I think Dave
I'm like you,
John.
Every
that.
Time I try to, the website does something weird, and it's like, oh, you're not logged in.
Not
I'm
the,
like, what?
It's not the best.
I just give up. I'm like,
best
screw
website.
It.
Yeah. Not the best website. It's especially on for mobile phones.
So I'm just like, it's not worth the effort.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people actually visit, like the blog post, the blog site. I don't know.
I don't know. I know somebody came on one time, and it was actually an interesting show. They read the blog post because they're like, well, no one's ever reading these, so I think they have some value. So he started reading them, and it started some really good conversations. It may have been Calm Car Ken that did that. I remember correctly, but it did start some good conversations.
Yeah, Calm Car Ken did do that. And then there was an incident a few months ago where Calm Car Ken went through some personal tragedy. And so he came to a voice call live on the air looking for some sympathy. And then Ab the Fakeologist said, hopefully this will cheer you up. And he played the theme song for Hogan's Heroes. And so they all sat through this for a minute or so. And then Calm Car Ken said, Ab, what would make you think that that would cheer me up? And that seems to have been basically maybe didn't terminate Khan Kadikian's activity here, but certainly seems to have led to a big dampener in all of that. And then, in fact, in the same call, Ab even suggested if Khan Kadikian wanted to move on from this personal tragedy that he was grieving, he should come to Fakeologist and do more shows reading the blog. It was a very strange interaction, to the point where I thought maybe it was a bit.
I remember that. I would say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was strange. That was a very strange interaction. Now that you bring that back up, I forgot about that. But yeah, Ken came. He came on last week, sometime this week. So he's getting more active. And I've seen him on the Discord chat. That's a good thing.
I think he's listening.
There's something between he and Ab that we don't know about.
I don't believe so. I think it was one of those cases where you've got five or six people having a conversation. Like, you know how do I put this to you? If you're having a chat with a bunch of people and then someone else comes along and they're not in such a happy mood, sometimes it can almost be agitating.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that that's necessarily what happened, but as a listener, that's what it seemed like. It was almost like, as tragic as Khan Kadikian's situation was, he was bringing his sad energy to people who weren't there for it, and so it didn't mix very well. And so Ab's way of dealing with it was his usual hijinks, which maybe didn't play very well in that particular moment, if you get what I'm trying to say. And I wasn't present at the time. I was listening to all of this. I was separate. I wasn't even in the room at the time. And I was like, okay, this is very bizarre. This is someone's just come to you and said that their mother has just passed away and you're very sad about it. And their reply is to play Hogan's Heroes theme. This is very strange. This is a very strange little part of the internet that we're in, isn't it?
Yeah, that was weird. But I think the conversation was talking about the war and hoaxes, and so they were kind of on that topic. So I think he just played it anyway, even though the mood had changed. I don't know if it was really directed at him to be mean or anything. But yeah, it was definitely weird timing. Did you guys ever watch that show?
The one you were just talking about? Well,
yeah, the Hogan Heroes.
Oh no. I don't know. Hogan Heroes.
Yeah, it's like it was a comedy. The World War II comedy show.
That's Albania in a couple of weeks.
You have?
I reckon she.
Well,
yeah, I'm going to Albania. John, I think you should get on the bus.
Bro, I'm tempted to do it. You know, Albania. I want to go there for a bunch of reasons. One of them is supposedly they've got like tens of thousands of these concrete bunkers scattered across the country. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Albania that has this. Yeah, just these concrete bunkers scattered across the country for a war that never came and was never going to come between you and me. So the country is still littered with these concrete bunkers all over the joint.
Yeah, apparently so. I'll be able to report on that once I've been there. And there's air raid shelters all over Britain, John. Really quite common.
According to the official story, speaking of air raids in Britain, did you know, according to the official story, the British bombed Sofia during the World War? Did you know that? That's part of the official story.
I don't know, mate. I really don't know.
I didn't know that.
What I've been saying for a long time is that the British Air Force were probably bombing Britain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they had no high-tech navigation. They would follow the light in front, like the lead plane. They wouldn't know where they were going. The in the RAF, like the Royal Air Force, like the joke is they're all toffs. They're all like, chucks away, and all this kind of like posh boys. Like, and the working class people were in the army and the navy. And anything could have happened, couldn't it? You know, they could. Why would these governments that are all in together be sending planes flying across like sort of Europe when they could just make it easy and bomb their own place? Because of course these people would do that. Of course they would.
Yeah, but does the bombing actually work, or is that another hoax? I think most of the damage was the demolition on the ground.
Yes, bombardiers, incendiaries on the ground, for sure, because they could. There's very little chance of accuracy in the dark with like, without any sort of high tech to hit a target, I would guess. I mean, I've never done any of that sort of thing.
Yeah, but even if you drop a bomb, what kind of damage do you get? And assuming that you hit, the target, right? And
I don't know. I've never done. I've only seen that sort of thing on the telly.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. It's all propaganda. It's you see the planes on the video dropping these bombs, and then you see an explosion or something, and then the buildings are damaged. I think it's all fake, though. I mean, the damage obviously is real afterwards, but how do you know
when
that?
When I was a boy, there was bombed out houses all over the place.
Yeah, but does that mean that?
No, it doesn't mean anything. It means there were bombed out houses all over the place. That's all it means.
Yeah.
Like, don't read too much into it. Don't let your imagination go too far with it. I just said there was bombed out houses all over the place. And
yeah.
I can verify that. I don't know. They would say they were from air raids. I don't know. I wasn't there. I was born 20 years after the war.
And probably nobody was eyewitnessing anything because they were in the bomb shelters.
Well, they were all told to close their curtains, turn out lights, and hide. And they would have they would have Anderson shelters, and there would be air raid shelters on all the council estates. There would be big air raid shelters, and people were encouraged to not look really. And of course, that's an open market, isn't it, for all kinds of skullduggery. You can imagine the things that must have gone on. Even if it was legitimate, like, you can imagine the kind of people that would go out and do all kinds of dirty tricks all over the place. But, like, the thing with the bombardiers and the firemen and the pharaohs and, like, it's the fire, isn't it? Empire is fire within, inside fire. Fire within, empire. It's like the fire. They're the fire people, and bombardiers. Philip Druzhinin has done very interesting work on bombardiers, and it's like a protection racket as well, isn't it? Like they would go around and say, like, you know, you need to pay for. In case something happens to your place, and they'd be like, no, nothing's ever happened, it's fine, yeah. And then the next day, their place burns down, and the firemen come back the next day and say, well, you should pay, really. It's kind of all comes out of sort of gangsterism and protection rackets and control through fear. The ongoing narrative. Do as you're told. If you don't do as you're told, you're in trouble. Big trouble. They're going to come and get you. Never forget.
And even during the World War, they supposedly had air raids as sirens, right? So they warned the population and they had enough time to go to the bomb shelters before the bombers actually arrived. How convenient is that?
I used to steal... They were going off when I was a boy. I used to sort of test them every so often.
Yeah, we had them even here in Berlin, maybe until the 90s.
I think it stopped here, I would say, in the 70s, like sort of late 70s, it stopped here. Or where I was, it kind of stopped. Yeah.
Well, they won't leave off, would they? Yeah, you could always make the argument, okay, the planes in the Second World War, they were not as advanced, and you can spot them from further away, and you probably did have more time than compared to modern fighting jets, right? That's flying way faster. But still, I mean, the idea that you have large parts of the population in safety before anything happens, I mean, right? And why wouldn't even the Germans or even the British, why couldn't they just sneak attack the enemy, right? If you ask too many deep questions about all the wars, then things don't make sense, so better don't ask
for the part. Yeah. So I've been asking old people if they know anyone that died in the war, and one later, a 70-year-old lady, a friend of the a close friend of the family, and a friend of mine, told me that her uncle didn't come back. That's the closest I've got.
Yeah. I also have some stories from my family that maybe two or three people didn't come back, but what really happened, right?
Yes.
That's the only thing also in my family. They didn't come back.
I've got something to consider. I wonder if maybe the bombing alarm drills were more like Schrodinger's bells, where they just, when they sounded the alarms, and then when people ran inside, they could just start shooting guns or blow up a bomb somewhere and make it seem like something was happening, but since everybody was hiding inside and not able to see anything.
That's what we were saying.
Ground level incendiaries, the bombardiers. They were going around and blowing up what they chose.
Or not blowing up anything at all, just making noises that sound weird.
Was the destruction.
The damage was there.
Yeah, that was real. But
Please, Zero, continue.
No, you go ahead.
So, I do know that there's fakery in the images of photo images of St. Paul's Cathedral and bombing stuff that they've faked photographs of that area being bombed. I know that's been kind of shown. Yeah. So they were definitely doing it. They were definitely faking things. And it's such an opportunity.
The destruction was real. The destruction was definitely real, but how they did it, that's the question. Was it really from the bombs that fly through the air? Or was it something on the ground?
The City of London, and I know the Crown Corporation, the one that no one wants to talk about, that wasn't touched. The City of London, the financial...
It's the top of the hour on April 7th, 2024. We are broadcasting live from the north shore of Lake Ontario.
See all of these people smiling and having fun? See their white teeth and bright eyes and trim figures? See how they're laughing and dancing and surrounded by friends of all kinds? They're reading the chocolates from the Big Sugar Favourites collection. It comes in a colourful box and there's 50 different bite-sized pieces of gooey goodness in every pack. You'll feel happy as soon as you put the Favourites box in your shopping cart. Then you can get home and dive into your favourite chocolates wrapped in wrappers of blue, red, green, orange and more. Vote with your wallet and support Big Sugar today.
It's that one special day every little girl dreams about. Surrounded by friends, family and their motley crew of plus ones. Dressed like a princess, the star of the show and the centre of attention for an entire day. At Big Wedding Services, we tailor each and every celebration to your personal needs. You'll feel like the belle of the ball and have photos to cherish for the rest of your life, or as long as the marriage lasts, which is usually a few years at least. Venue hire is only 2x what you'd pay for any other event, and the flower bill should, most likely, come into less than $2,000. Nothing when you consider how important it is that you'll be the special princess for the day. Pick and choose which of your sisters and friends who make the cut to get into your bridal party. Be the boss you always wanted to be. Vote with your daddy or husband's wallet and support Big Wedding today. And for the guys, just let her spend whatever she wants. After all, what is she marrying you for in the first place? So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology
to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today.
I like my burger zesty fried.
And I like my chicken wraps long and wide.
Throw in some cola, ultra size.
And don't forget a pound of crispy fries.
A family meal for just $29.95.
Support Big Fast Food and you'll feel alive.
Hey, Big Fast Food, do it your way.
Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
With regard to nobody died, nobody got hurt in these wars.
Can everyone here please say your name and where you're from to introduce yourselves to the live audience?
And you're a babbler, and you're an antichrist.
Oh, we've got Aeon from the UK, Buzzing Fritz from America, Tookie Foots from America, Not Shocked from Georgia, Toby's Freedom from Denmark, who's not talking, 01 from Germany, John LeBond from Bulgaria. Yeah, so I'll let you guys carry on. Interesting conversation about war. Interesting.
So, the city of London, the square mile, wasn't touched. And they would be going, you'd be going for that, wouldn't you? Like if you got something against someone and you want to bomb them, you'd go for their hotspot. And it wasn't touched. Everywhere else was bombed all over the place. They didn't bomb the City of London. Crown Corporation, CC33, Crown Court, CC33, and Crown Copyright, CC33. Everywhere. All these countries that are supposed to be at war against each other, they're all Crown Corporation. They're all franchised at the Crown. The Crown isn't Britain or the Queen or England. England didn't go to America and do, it was the Crown Corporation moving from one place to another. They came to England so they could cut down the forests and build ships and go out from there to all these other continents. And they used the English people first. Or before they went out and spread to, they battered us first. But don't talk about the Crown, boys. Hey. And heaven forbid.
When was the City of London, when was it established? Was it after the Great Fire in 1666?
Any of that stuff, mate. It's all stories to me.
You know when the Queen supposedly passed away? A couple of years ago now. Like, time flies.
What, 3 months?
No, it was 911 days after 3/11. So the day that the coronavirus was characterized as a pandemic by Dr. Tedros, 911 days, the Queen was reported to pass away. Could just be a coincidence, of course.
Oh, just coincidence, obviously.
And you know, when someone passes away, we have a tradition here at fakeologist.com.
Oh, that was funny. That has to stay on the soundboard.
Yeah, that one's staying there.
It's got to stay there.
It was a strange one. Yeah, so how about this, though? I'm sure most of you have heard this one. Since you're talking about war and, like, why didn't they bomb the royal families, which is a very sensible question. How about this? Do you know what was on the number plate of Archduke Franz Ferdinand the day that he was assassinated? That supposedly led to the start of World War I?
Yeah, a certain date.
Yeah, what was it?
I don't know.
Was it 911?
Yeah, no. Different one.
Okay. I remember seeing it, but I can't see.
So just so you guys are all with me, and the seven listeners around the world are with me, so some dude called Gabriele Princip supposedly shot some guy called Franz Ferdinand. And that supposedly led to World War One. And then the conditions that were left after World War One supposedly led to Hitler and to World War Two. That's the official history. It all goes back to a day that some guy shot some dude in a car. And on that car was a number plate.
That's crazy.
But what was on the number plate? I think everybody should know this. Like, this should be something that everybody in Fakeology should know after about 3 months of being here, I think. No offense to anybody. The number plate, if you go and Google it right now, it's like it says that this is not a conspiracy theory. A-I-I-I-1-1-1-8. So it's in A-11-11-18. Now, why is 11-11-18 important? Armistice Day. That was the end of World War One. So the end of World War One was encoded on the number plate of the car of the guy whose death started World War One. Are you with me? So guy gets shot and leads to World War One. The number plate on his car says the date of the war that's going to end in a few years, according to the official story. And so I can show this to people, and they come back to me, and some of them still want to try and tell me that war is totally real, and that I'm off my rocker for suggesting otherwise. So my question to them would be, okay, how do you explain this then? Why would the number plate say the date of the end of the war? How is that possible? You can Google it, guys. I'm not making this up. Google it right now.
No, I'll
Google
say it, John.
Now that you say it, I remember the...
But then could the images be doctored? Could the images be doctored?
It's not just an image. You can see that there's a museum where this car is. So it's not just like...
Could that all be hoaxed, John?
In theory, it could. What is your guess at the museum?
It could.
It could.
No, I don't know. I don't know, mate. But I'm just kind of... opening it, you know what I mean? Like, let's not close it down. It's just hoax, isn't it?
It could be that this car doesn't exist and the museum where the car sits doesn't exist. That is possible. Would you guess that is likely? Because my guess is no.
I'm not going to guess. I'm going to say, it's just hoax on hoax, isn't it? It's like, and I appreciate that, John, that you share that with us. It is really good, but I'm just opening it up. There's double cross and hoax on hoax on hoax and it's like distraction, confusion, bamboozle. Create fake narratives, false polarities, isn't it? Just like argument points and that's kind of what I liked about what Toby and 01 did. They weren't doing that. They was talking about things, not this going round and round stuff that seems to happen, and accusational things and being like bitchy and all that. They were just talking, and it was really a breath of fresh air, I thought.
Yeah. The thing is, the World Wars, I think, were pretty much a screenplay. I think I would say it's like a movie, and they put all these things in it. And obviously, there's a real car probably with that license plate in it, and that's the joke. But everything is already planned out to the end. And how they pulled it off, well, I guess that's for us to figure out.
Masterpiece.
Yeah, obviously, just like the moon landing. I mean, it was a script before, and then they made it somehow reality and through fakery and television and photography and so on, and the storytelling. And even the other day, there was some story about the Nazi time. And if you watch the documentary, it's quite funny how they portray it. You see some there was a marriage during the Nazi time, some Nazi marrying his wife and some people attending and so on, and they were having fun. And then a narrator is talking what's actually happening, but it has nothing to do with what you see, right? And they tell you, oh, these evil people, they're about to kill people and so on. And you were seeing happy people like dancing around in a marriage, and obviously some Nazi guy right? And with the swastika on his arm and so on. And just the narration actually set the tone to everything, right? And the narrator tells them these people are later going to kill some others, and then they are being sent off to France to fight the French people and so on. But he didn't actually see it. You saw people on the train dressed as soldiers, but you didn't see any fighting. And it's just a narration that gives you the illusion, oh, there was war, there was fighting. He never saw anything. I saw people happy and pretending to get married. That's what I saw.
I've heard it said that...
But
please continue.
No, I was finished already. Go ahead.
So, I've heard it said that in the old days, like before modern sort of mediaisation, the storyteller was one of the most welcomed guests, travellers into the community.
Of course, yeah.
And everyone would sit around and listen to their stories, and they were transfixed by them. And a good storyteller could go around with a life telling the stories. And they get fed and well looked after.
That's 8 o'clock news. Nowadays, 8 o'clock news. That's the storytelling.
We're so susceptible to it.
What's wrong with that, though? Like, if someone is a good storyteller and humans love stories, why shouldn't that person be rewarded for captivating?
I think, yes, they would be, wouldn't they? And captivating is a good term. Mm.
I never used to understand how much humans love stories. It's only been the last few years I've started to appreciate the significance of it. It's not simply that people like to go to the movies and watch movies, or some people like to read books. It's more than that. Humans are storytelling creatures. There are some autismo people who care about evidence and objective facts, but that's rather rare. Most people are just interested in stories. And so a good storyteller is far more useful to someone than a fact teller for most people.
And it's always
people
about
tell
other
themselves
people too.
That they want facts. Like, everyone believes they care about facts. But if you look at who they listen to and who they watch, no, they like storytellers. So they're telling themselves a story that they care about facts. But actually, they just care about good stories.
And people like drama, too. You can tell, even here, Fakeo, at the Discord. It's all about infighting. It's about ups and highs, emotional roller coasters, right? And
you
then,
like being that dog. You like being that tough guy.
So I just looked it up. The car is supposed, the Franz Ferdinand car is supposedly on display at a museum in Vienna. And I just looked it up. I could fly to Vienna in 2 weeks, return trip, including carry-on baggage, return trip for $200 Australian for the weekend. I'm so tempted to do it. So that in the future, no one can say to me, oh, how do you know that museum really exists? Maybe that's a hoax. I can say, you know what? Check my YouTube. I went there. I went to Vienna just to look at this stupid car, to show you the car exists. Here's the number plate. So now we have to go back to my original question, which is, how do you explain that?
That could be filling out of the hoax, couldn't it?
And the thing is, how do we know that the event was real? I mean, the car is probably real, right? But the event probably never took place. So,
they could have just invented that museum 10 years ago, put a car there, and then within 10 years, everyone just believes the museum's been there for 100 years. They could have done that easily and gotten away with it.
Not even if the museum has been there for even longer, but it doesn't mean that the event really happened.
I don't believe the event happened. Okay, maybe there's some confusion here. I don't believe there was a war, and I don't believe some guy called Franz Ferdinand got shot, which led to a war. I don't believe it. I'm saying that's the story. I'm saying that is the official story. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it actually happened.
I'm on the same page with you, but you still put out the car to make it look realistic to us nowadays. But the car,
or maybe they put the car there as an Easter egg, as a clue for people to realize that it's not real. Or maybe even to realize that this place that we live
is
not what we've been told.
That's why they put the number on the license plate, obviously, It is an Easter egg.
Yeah. And that's why you could talk to the 100 most loyal fakeologists around the world and ask them all what was on Franz Ferdinand's car plate, and maybe 10% could tell you what was on there. Like, even here, people don't care. You know what I'm trying to say? So if people here don't care, do you think the masses care? No. So you can put these little Easter eggs there to show people that this reality is, some might say, an artificial construct.
The
this is just one example.
Yeah.
I know.
What's that news all for you, John? You say some doozle thing.
No, not man doozle thing. More like
I think it's an ISP, like, isn't it? IPS, an IPS thing. Something doozle.
Yeah, he's got the Mandoozle. That's what he calls Mandela effect.
Mandoozle.
There's some people who believe that Chartreux used to be a different color, or that the capital of Brazil used to be a different city. And
that's just a Mandoozle thing.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. So IPS doesn't believe in Mandela effect, and he mocks it as Mandoozle.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is I've been alive for 36 years. What happened before I got here, I don't know. All I can go by is what's written down or different artifacts or whatever. And the further back in time you go, the less reliable I think it is.
Absolutely.
Even 100 years ago, how do I know anything happened?
Absolutely. Style. You can... Well, for me, I can refer back to what the old people were saying to me when I was young. And that's as far as I can go.
They heard stories.
And they could all be liars. They could all be liars, yeah.
Liars in a way that they were deceived.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but they were deceived.
I think it was different then from how it is now. Like, it wasn't... This is this age we're in now where we get information injected into our eyes and ears.
Yeah, but the thing is, even, let's say, 80 or 90 years ago, do you think the average person out there had the concept in his mind of fakery?
No. Well, I think there was really high common sense then, and a much stronger sense of what is real around you.
So if they had this concept in mind already about what is real and what's not, so what did stop them from passing on this kind of information to their children?
I would say...
You warn your children about fakery and this world?
Can you fill it out a bit for me, please?
No, I mean, if people... So, like 90 years ago, had more common sense and were aware about fake history and stuff. Wouldn't you pass that on to your children, that information, and how to spot fakery?
I think that people lived an agrarian life, and they had their face to the ground, and it was much more about what is tangible. And dealing with the conditions, it's a different.
Yeah.
We've been lulled into this dumbness. We've been conditioned into this.
I understand, but I still think that even people like back 90 years back, they were probably facing some other hoaxes and being scammed in some other way.
Yeah, I suppose so. Maybe it's our nature, and like we were saying a little while ago about the storyteller. Yeah, we obviously fantasized on things, and yeah, I wasn't there.
But otherwise, with our knowledge today, wouldn't you pass on that kind of like mindset or that concept that we are being run by evil people, and here's like a formula almost, how to spot these people and what to look out for?
Okay.
If you speak to the older people, like maybe they have wisdom to share. What I find is if I listen to people who are older than me, sometimes they have good advice to offer, sometimes even investment advice.
Your 250 epic times $25,000 is worth $6.25 million. Is that nuts? Is that crazy?
And you can buy a fraction of the old people now.
We're so toxified from things we put in our bodies, all the inorganic vitamins and minerals, that this is what's causing all the brain maladies for the old people these days. And so we look at old people now as being kind of not valuable, a bit crazy maybe, whereas my comprehension is that in the past they were kind of held up as passing on history, and they had knowledge and they weren't. I think they weren't like the old people now. People are toxified. People now. We. I know you don't like that word, but we're in a constant state of toxic elimination. Our bodies don't function properly.
Good morning, everybody. This is D-Train. I'm using V's phone. I'm having trouble updating my Discord. It doesn't seem to be working now that I've updated it. Super interesting conversation. I wonder where the war hoax originated, that the war hoax line of thinking. Does anybody know?
Do you mean as in who was the first person on the internet to say the war didn't happen?
Yeah, or even previous to the internet.
I can't tell you about prior to the internet, but I can tell you based on the 10 years that I've been here and then the research I've done about what was being said before I got here, there was two people. It was Dave J., and he's been talking about it for years. And then also Marcus Allen. The way that Marcus Allen and Chris Kendall, their relationship broke down all those years ago, centered around Marcus Allen questioning stories about people dying in the American military. And around about that time, Marcus Allen was putting forward the idea that these troops who think they've gone to the Middle East, all that's happened is they've been put on a plane and told you're going to the Middle East. They've been flown around in the air for hours and hours, and then dropped in a giant movie set somewhere in America or nearby and told that they're doing a tour of the Middle East, but really they're in America. And he didn't say he believes this is true. He said, how would they know the difference? And around about that time, him and Chris Kendall, they fell out. So in terms of contemporary internet culture, those two people, Dave J and Marcus Allen, prior to them, I'm not aware of anybody calling this stuff out the way we know it now. If you go and watch South Park, like the original South Park, in like the second season, there's an episode of Jimbo and Ned. They have a community access television show, and there's an episode called The Mexican Staring Frog. And in that episode, so this is like the midnight, this is like 1998, I want to say. You've got the South Park boys, the kids, have to go and talk to Uncle Jimbo to learn about Vietnam. It's part of their school assignment. So they go and ask Uncle Jimbo and Ned, his friend Ned, about Vietnam. And they're telling this story about log rides and eating, what they call it, cotton candy and this kind of stuff. And there are these TV shows from decades ago where they mock Vietnam as being not a real war. Like South Park is one example, there's others. I don't think this is really hidden, this idea that the war isn't
There's nothing really hidden ever, really, is there? It can be drowned in misinformation, but it's not really hidden.
After killing the entire Viet Cong army, they returned to base camp. Once there, they rode the Devil's Drop roller coaster and ate cotton candy. And ultimately, Ned got the Purple Heart for his courageous defense of the log ride. So was the horror of Vietnam. The end.
The end.
Are there any questions?
Yes, Mr. Garrison?
Yes, where the f*** did you hear this ridiculous load of bullshit?
From Vietnam veterans.
Well, boys, it's obvious to me that you didn't do your work, and then you stayed up all night making up some ridiculous lie.
No, we didn't.
You all receive an F minus.
F minus? Can you do that? But we're not making it up. It was...
Stanley, the Vietnam War was war. There weren't galloping steeds or singing birds or log rides.
How do you know? You weren't even there.
Well, that's it. All of you have detention for the rest of the week.
Okay, so that's the end of the first part of this call. Like I said, I'm splitting this up into three separate sections to make it easier for you, the listeners. And I wish that Ab would do this, but he doesn't. He just uploads these massive files. 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes 10-hour files, man. No one's downloading and listening to a 10-hour file, okay? So what I'm going to do, or what I have done with this file, as you can see, I've separated it into three sections. So in the second section, you'll hear conversation about a range of topics. Sorry about the background noise there. It's warm now, so I have my balcony door open. You can probably hear the background noise. So in the second part, we've got people talking about how some people fell for Alex Jones and they can admit it. I think that's when people can admit when they got stuff wrong. I personally think that's really cool. So there's some discussion, people talking about Alex Jones and his FEMA camps and Fukushima radiation. This idea of the celebrities, are they really in on it or do they believe their own nonsense? And this idea of George trying to explain to Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it. So that's what comes up in the second file that I have clipped for you. So you can move on to part two right now. I've uploaded all three parts to Podbean. So what you're listening to right now is the end of part one. If you want to, you can move on to part two and or part three. They're all available to download or stream via the John the Bond Podbean for free. I'm taking the time to re-upload FAC 1398 because I think for anybody out there who is interested in this kind of conversation, this is a terrific audio chat. And I, for one, am grateful for Fakeologist.com because every now and then we get a audio chat like this one. Doesn't happen all the time. In fact, some people would even suggest that most of the audio chats are, I don't want to say anything negative, but not all audio chats are as good as the others. This one, I think, was a good one. So if you enjoyed that first part of the call, move on to the second part, which is also available, and I guess I'll see you there. Ciao-ciao.
What you're experiencing is a freeform delusion based on our memory tapes, but you're inventing it yourself as you go along.